You're listening to Ask When, the podcast. Folks from all walks of life talk about their daily hustle and bustle, living and celebrating life, sharing tips on becoming champions, especially for those who are muscling mental and physical disabilities. Ask When, the podcast, with your host, author, and cerebral palsy advocate, Wynn Charles. Ask When, the podcast, starts right now.
Welcome to Ask When, everyone. This morning with me, I have Bean. And just to let you guys know, let's be nice to Bean here because this is her first podcast ever. So I'm going to let Miss Ween take it away and explain more about what she does.
Hi, Ween. Thank you. Actually, my first name is Renee. I'm Renee Schultz, and I'm out of Salem, New Hampshire. Thank you so much for having me on your show. In February of 2017, after a long bout of CPTSD, suicidal symptoms, I took suicide off the table and I started an Instagram page, and I was determined to show people that no matter how low you are and how poorly you're doing emotionally or physically, you can climb your way up. And so to find your podcast and see what you and Danielle are doing, I think it's awesome and I'm really happy to be here today. So, yeah, I've been a Christian for my whole entire life, and I've been married for 30 years. I have two adult children, and basically, I'm a volunteer crisis coach. So after making it through a period of basically living a double life and trying to find myself again after losing my identity and just climbing out of the bowels, I started mentoring self-harming teens on Instagram, and then I started with people who are like binging on binge pages and domestic violence. And now I'm on like first responder pages doing crisis coaching with first responders who are suicidal or who have PTSD, et cetera. And basically, I'm just trying to get the word out first on the podcast. And soon I'll have my memoir released, just to never give up and that there's always hope, and to teach people that you can learn coping skills, whether you're struggling emotionally or physically. There are so many things that we can do to feel better and to get well. And a big part of it actually is reaching out to others. So whether you're smart enough to host a podcast, or if you're even just going to be a guest on a podcast, or even just reaching out on Facebook pages, you know, people need our knowledge. And I actually teach a thing. It's a little program I put together. It's on faith, hope, and boundaries. And it's just about using those three things to smash your goals and become all that you can be.
First of all, God bless you for doing all this crisis work. Gee, peace. And everyone knows by now, before you came on this morning, I actually interviewed another podcast host. Her name is Elizabeth Cush, and she hosts Women's Warriors, and she's also a clinical psychologist. So, you guys, back to back.
I'm not trained as a psychologist. I just lived through a couple of really horrific years. And of course, having my mom be a social worker, I've heard a lot of the clinical terminology my whole life. So being able to take symptoms that a psychiatrist was calling mental illness and being able to look at that and break it down and break down the behaviors and be able to say, wait a minute. I'm acting like a bipolar person. I'm acting like someone who should be in, you know, locked up somewhere or something. But in reality, I'm broken and something opened the floodgates in 2010. That's another story. And caused all these symptoms to come on, and I wasn't coping at all. So yeah, it was just through self-learning and all of that. So I'm really happy to be here though.
Well, can you go into your story of what opened up the floodgates?
Sure. I was sexually assaulted starting before I could walk. And it was many men, many instances throughout my entire life. And well, through like age 16, I should say. At 16, I was raped by two guys. But starting at age around six, my mom started physically abusing me. And so my whole life, it was just that rejection and pain. And, you know, you lose your identity really quick when you're struggling with all those things. By the time I was about 35, I had been in rehab once as a teenager to try to get my life together, and I was diagnosed with bipolar. And through my life, while I dealt with bipolar type symptoms, it wasn't the classic super highs and super lows. And I wasn't the type to stay up for 3 days redoing my bathroom. I almost wish I was, right? So in 2010, I was on a missions trip, and a woman on our team said to me, I laughed really obnoxiously, and she said, "You're an embarrassment to church and you bring shame to your husband." And after struggling so long, you know, with so much hatred and things that had been done against me, I lost my identity. I basically had a breakdown right there in Panama in 2010. And I came home. I was a 15-year-old again. I started acting out, living a double life for about 4 years. And like I said, I am a Christian. So my faith held me, but begging God every day, like, take this away from me. This is like, what has just come upon me? Who am I? What's going on? And I couldn't control it. It was all sexual behavior that was I was acting out, and my family was struggling through it and struggling to support me. My husband was amazing. I was back in therapy and seeing a psychiatrist, and I was taking medication and everything. But I actually became a nanny. I was a live-in nanny for this girl, and she was really, really struggling with like psychosis and different things. And so while I was looking up things for her on how to help her with her issues, I found personality disorder, and not to self-diagnose, and I haven't specifically been diagnosed with it, but I saw a lot of the symptoms and the way I was acting and the things that I was doing. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. Okay, I have faith and I have hope. And I think if I just shore up some boundaries and if I just take a good look and figure out why I'm doing this, I can get to the bottom of it and I can fix it. And so I just started the journey of trying to heal all the wounds that I had had all those years that woman brought up, you know, brought out in 2010. And it's been an incredible journey. When I first fell in 2010, I knew it was going to be epic. And I started my memoir. So my memoir is wrapping up. My entire life's goal now, I finally found my passion, and it's helping people stay alive and holding their hand through that transitional path to joy from despair and hopelessness. So yeah, whether you have physical disabilities or emotional issues, you know, wherever you are, you just got to meet yourself where you are and say, look in the mirror and say, okay, self, this is us. We've got this. And everything looks like failure in the middle. And no matter what you go through, you just got to never stop trying.
It's interesting that you say that, Renee, because I was also emotionally abused June 23rd by two family members, and I had a live-in aide who witnessed it. My stepmother witnesses, and my stepsister witnesses. And because I'm an at-risk adult, I am, and this has been the second time I've been emotionally abused, and yeah. So I'm an abuse survivor too. And me getting up on, thank God that I did get up on June 24th. And it's been a long and interesting journey. 1 month after my dad died, my two family members, and I will admit this, and I will say that my two family members thought it was normal, and it's not normal to at risk adult, and it shook everyone who witnessed it to the core.
That's awful. But you and what was your support going through your journey? What was your like? What did you have for support?
I was in counseling, and what led to me telling my story, and because I knew it was abuse, I knew in 2 seconds flat when a person locks you in your own room and starts relating to you and asking you questions about certain stuff, and I knew it was abuse. If I was smart enough, I would have went into the bathroom and had someone call 911 on my behalf to get out of there. But so I wasn't smart enough to do that because I'm 5 feet. So I, and these are bigger woman than me. But at the time of the abuse, I just thought that family wouldn't do that. As I said, this was my second time being abused. Yeah. I didn't report the first abuse because emotional abuse is emotional abuse.
Yeah.
But this second time, if it wasn't for my counselor asking me, do you feel safe at home? I wouldn't have been involved with adult protective services. Yes, there is a version of adult protective services, and because I'm an at-risk adult, that's why they were called in.
Wow. Wow. And it's crazy, too, because the thing about these transitional paths are you just have to go down them. There's no swimming across. That you've just got to go down the path and go through it. And no matter how much despair, the negative thoughts or whatever, all you can do is just keep swimming. Like Dory really said it all when she said, just keep swimming, just keep swimming.
Yep. Yep. Dory. Yep. Dory from Finding Nemo, you guys. And yeah. So that's what I feel. I'm sitting here today, and as I told the invested professional interviewer, I said, I'm lucky to be sharing my story. I'm lucky to be not only alive sharing my story, but I'm lucky to be sharing my story. So that's my latest mission in life is to stand up for the voiceless and say that's not cool. And if we all had our right minds about us, we would have called 911 that day.
Right. And I feel after going through a similar thing of getting someone out of a domestic violence situation the past 2 weeks, I feel like it's almost silly to say this, but people should really just be randomly asking people, are you safe at home? Domestic violence and threatening and abuse is so rampant now. It's really beyond unbelievable. And so to just ask people that you're friends with or even coworkers, I mean, it's kind of dramatic, I guess, but it's just, there's just so much out there. Just really keep your eyes open for people and what they're feeling and what they're going through every day. Instead of rolling our eyes at people and tisking and getting mad at people, just think about what they're dealing with and what their behaviors and what their actions and what their words are saying about them and what they're going through. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, as I said, if it wasn't for my counselor, adult protective services wouldn't be involved. And the only reason why I'm not pressing charges against my abuser is who happens to be my godmother. Thank you very much. And see, it always happens with family and the least expecting person too. And the good family members out there, God bless you to protect us. And good friends out there, God bless you to protect us too.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for my counselor, I would still be holding this secret, and that would send me down a wall path that you guys don't want to see. And
it comes up and kills you several times during your lifetime, too, until you fix it. You're going to keep hitting a barrier in life until you deal with this underlying trauma. So, yeah, I mean, once you see yourself kind of feeling hopeless or feeling sad or you're not able to cope or whatever, go get help for what ails you, because it's going to keep coming up and you won't be able to smash your goals. And that's the biggest thing, you know, like the first responders finally having like their own pages and so many pages and places to go on Instagram and Facebook for people to reach out for help, because too many people are dying because they don't know how to go down this path of the transition to joy. And they just need their hand held. And you know, even this one guy, he had to check himself. And I did this crisis coaching thing for a firefighter a few weeks ago. And it was literally just 3 days of holding his hand and explaining to him the process and the words and the thought process, what he was going to be thinking, what people are going to be saying. Because it's a scary prospect for people, especially like, you know, big, strong men who are like, I ain't driving to some hospital to check myself in. No, good. It's going to be great. You're going to feel amazing when it's all over.
Yeah,
we've got to do what we've got to do to fix this. But what's been harmed?
We got to do what we got to do. And if counselors can help. That's what I'm saying. Counselors, yes. Mm-hmm. In my case, a counselor helped me. Not necessarily my age and not necessarily my stepmom, but they did help me. But when it came to do you feel safe at home, a counselor helped me.
Yeah. 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 We all need support. In fact, you know, the motto of your page is accept us for who we are. And we all need to be accepting each other for who we all are, because we're all struggling in some way. Everybody's got something going on, right? And we all need support. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we all need support and we all need help. And I'm sorry to all the abuse survivors out there who are now listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm. And Renee and I go back and forth about abuse, but we all need help. And those of us who can get out of the situations, do it. Do it with a friend. Do it with an aide. Do it with anyone. Do it. Do it. Do it.
Yeah, even if it's a stranger online, go find a page and do it. Go through it with a stranger online. Yeah, literally.
Mm-hmm. So you would say, Renee, you would say a stranger online would be better than a friend?
Oh, not necessarily. Just if you feel like you don't have anybody. Like, I talk to self-harming teens on Instagram all around the world, and they all say, I have nobody. There's nobody. Well, you have me. So, you know, there are more of us like that. You may not be a self-harming teen. You could be a 40-year-old woman working in an office and just feel like you have nobody to talk to, or some random guy who works, you know, a second shift in a machine factory. You may feel like you have nobody. There are so many pages and so many people online that are willing to help and that have been there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Yes, yeah.
And I will state this clearly on this podcast.
Yeah.
The men in foreign countries.
Yes.
Men in foreign countries like to show me dick pics. I'm sorry. But you're laughing at this, and we get trolled on Instagram as social media influence.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're dealing with a self-harming teen, which is huge in itself. And when we say self-harming, you guys, I never did self-harming. I had those suicidal thoughts, but now I know how to deal with them. And unfortunately, I told someone that I trusted that I was thinking about committing suicide. The only thing that stopped me was I threw the bottle of pills away, I would use. And so, but when you meet strangers online, do you really want to tell them that, do you really want to find confidence in them that they can help you in a foreign country?
Well, it depends. I mean, my kids, I've reached out to my kids. They're all under, like if you will go on Instagram, you can find all the, you know, depressed teen or suicidal, whatever. And there's all these kids and I reach out to them. But as an adult, I wouldn't probably suggest that if you don't have a foundation of what you're reaching out for, if you're not a safe place. And if you're a kid, yeah, that's hard to determine who's safe and who's not. In fact, I have lots of kids who are suicidal because they befriended someone online. They put all their trust and their hope in them for a year or two. And now, like, they blocked me. They won't talk to me. I was supposed to go see them. And I have to talk to them and say, that wasn't a realistic relationship. You know, that wasn't a safe place to go. But I mean, there are like psychologists on Instagram and on Facebook that you can go find to talk to, and just groups. There are groups for, you know, whether it's cerebral palsy or for Down syndrome pages or mental illness, all different pages on Facebook where like-minded people can go to get safe counsel. Mm-hmm.
So you're calling it safe counsel. You're not. And I am surprised that Facebook now has a dating app. I am deadly surprised by that. I posted a video and people saw my video And I said, the Stranger Danger on Facebook has got stopped. The penis pictures on Facebook has got stopped from me putting it out for all the women out there.
Yeah.
And a person that knows me really well said, how can you block these creeps? I said, this is my thing to her. I said, what block are you living under that you don't know that anyone could get creepified by social media?
Yeah.
What block? And then once I said that to her, she kind of backed off. But I'm like, haven't you heard these stories of people befriending people online?
And creeping and
online.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit more careful, but I've always been a little bit more careful because I work online. But you gotta be careful, you guys.
Yeah, there are some nice safe pages on there. You know, it's a private group. It's usually a private group. Yeah, I mean, when you have nothing and you're so lonely and you feel like you have nobody to reach out to, there are groups on Facebook that are a safe place to go. They are. And remember, too, a lot of times, like I was talking about the symptoms of mental illness. So my doctor was telling me I had bipolar, but really what I felt was just rejection and isolation. And I had family and friends I could talk to. I just felt like I couldn't. I felt like they wouldn't listen. I felt like they would never understand me. I felt like they would never get me. And so that's why I sought out things, you know, other places. And I did have a therapist and I did have my psychiatrist. But just to reach out and to have a faith in place. A faith that cannot fail. So what can I ask? So do you, because I do this thing, the faith, hope, boundaries. So do you have any particular boundaries that you have to keep for yourself when every day in order to succeed?
That's a great question. And I'll mention it publicly. I have to realize that because I am so beautiful, these guys on social media want to come after me, and it's happened to me for years.
Yeah.
I mean, guys in foreign countries, and that's why I'm saying the trolling has got to stop. Trolling drives me nuts. And I am saying that because I'm an influencer, the trolling has got to stop. I get asked to be on podcasts all the time.
Yeah,
but I'm a little bit less on Facebook than I am on Twitter because I find that Twitter's more my jam than anything else.
Oh, yeah.
But the trolling has got to stop. So that's my boundary. If they're going to troll me, that's my new boundary. If they're going to troll me, they might as well pick a different person to troll because I will talk about it on the podcast, and because I'm out at this adult, I just trusted my gut. And when I've been super lucky, but the trolling that happens to all of us has to stop.
Well, even, I mean, look at how bad not only sexual assault and rape and everything, just walking down the street or whatever at school or at a church. But then look at the sexual verbal harassment that happens at the workplace. So certainly online, yeah, we're inundated with that stuff. Men and women, it's terrible. Yeah.
I've been emotionally abused at the workplace too, so trust me.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
The story I shared was my second time. And so trust me. And I've been willing and able to talk about that one, and I will be talking about that one. I didn't report that one, but the second time it happened to me, it's everywhere. So you guys have got to be careful. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually about to post a video I'm recording it tomorrow, why TikTok drives me nuts.
Yes, I can't stand it. It's so funny. Good.
Drives me nuts because all these, and my sister is the one that brought it up. My stepsister, who's younger than me, brought it up. She goes, TikTok is driving me nuts. And I'm like, I'm going to get on YouTube and say why TikTok is driving me nuts. Because by the time this episode comes out on Friday, you guys, you should see my video of why TikTok drives me nuts. These younger millennials are doing these TikToks and they're not going anywhere. And granted, I am an only child, but I know I grew up in the 90s. I didn't grow up with cell phones. And I know that I know what I did, and I did do something, but I am now fixing my own problems and asking for help. And I know what I did. And without the help of counseling, I would still be in the same position I am. But counseling is helpful. But these TikToks and these teens seeking attention online drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And this is coming out of a 32-year-old's mouth with cerebral palsy.
Yeah, and people don't understand, too, that our minds are naturally, like, we naturally want to be negative. We have naturally negative thoughts. And so you've got to feed yourself positivity. Some people are naturally positive, bright, sunny people with lots of natural, beautiful, positive thoughts. And then there are other people, like probably me, especially with the life that I had since childhood, whose thoughts have just always been negative and self-defeating and whatever. And so not only do we have to feed our minds positivity, but we've got so much negativity. It's so much more negativity in the world now, just watching TikTok, and people don't realize that how negative some of it is between the gross music and the ridiculous swearing or the ridiculous gross dancing and the raunchiness. It's just feeding your mind all this negativity, and kids are watching this for hours and hours and hours a day instead of feeding themselves positivity, never mind just reading a book. You know, they should be reading anyway, but then they've got all this negativity. They're feeding themselves for hours and hours and hours. And then they wonder why they're depressed. It's like, You should be doing something positive for your brain to help.
They wonder why they're depressed.
Yeah. And so all these new apps that come out, they're just continuing to feed our kids' minds with, you know,
Facebook,
nastiness.
Not so bad, but TikTok, if I hear, and these grown adults want to use TikTok in a podcasting space, I'm like,
yeah, my 19-year-old is on it a lot. I'm like, oh, please stop. At least she's smart and she's going to college and she works and everything, but it still drives you crazy, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I took Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp off my phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I literally did. And I declared on Facebook that I am going to take a break until I get my journalism degree, which will be in 2024.
Oh, that'll
and
be fun.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because social media drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening is people will say to me, well, Wynn, you're so good on social media. I'm trying to promote my work, not be brought down. I'm just trying to promote positivity in this world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. We've got our work cut out for us, that's for sure.
We do. We do. And myself as a disabled journalist, there's a lot of work cut out. So, Monet, do you have any questions for me as we wrap this interview up?
Well, I already asked you about your supports and who you've had for support and what your boundaries are to help keep you successful. Now, can I ask you, like, for basic boundaries, like, you probably don't drink or smoke weed or anything that to mess up your mind and your thought process because you have better things to do with your time. But what about other boundaries that you do, or how do you feel about, like, failures or when you have hiccups and things? How do you get past all of that? As we talk about helping people start at ground zero and work their way up, I've had all of my issues that I've had to overcome. And what are some things that you've had to overcome that you've been able to?
Well, I've had to overcome the loss of my dad in May.
That was recent.
The most recent one, I thought going to grief once was tough enough. Going to grief twice is tough. Tough cookies.
Yeah.
tough cookies. But
hearing you talk about your dad, that was tough to get past in your podcast, talking about your dad.
No,
yeah, I felt
I did, and it's still out there. It's now on the Unwelcome CP, that my other podcast that we did an interview that day, and I said, look, the reason why, and there was no emotion in my voice when I said it, and I had people upstairs too, and I stepped away to do this interview, and my girlfriend knew, because I texted her that morning, / came over to my house, and my girlfriend knew what was going on. And I said, well, you're going to be welcome to the next chapter of my life.
Here's So, and that's really great.
So, yeah, putting that out there was the best thing I ever did. And because my fan base will, when they now form a connection with you, you better watch it, because my fan base will now be reaching out to you, and nicely reaching out to you. And so if I just know that I have family that will support me, my family will support me, and my biological family, sadly, will treat me like the black sheep. They always have, always will. But so my biological family, my biological family will treat me like the black sheep, but my step family will be the supportive family and the friends that I do have.
Yeah.
And will always support me. And my aides will try to support me to the best of their ability. Trust me, if they're listening to this podcast, they know more about me than I know about myself.
Yeah.
But it's always fine to have the people that support you. You don't have to go to social media and say no one loves me. You don't have to go to social media and share your story. You just have to tell people what's going on.
And yeah, it's humility.
That's what I've learned in the past year.
Yeah, and submission to what God has given you and what the universe has put in front of you and the path that you're on is how you look yourself in the eye and say, okay, this is where I'm at, and I need to submit to this and make the best of it. And that's how you can get through your transition a little bit more smoothly. Yeah.
Yep.
So can I let the listeners know where to reach me if they need anything?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Go ahead.
So I am a mediator and a perspective changer, and you can find me on Instagram at Fear It, Faith It, Kill It, or you can email me at renee.gfwcsalem@yahoo.com. If you have any questions, if you find yourself going through it and you need someone to talk to, I'm here, and I can just offer a little bit of inspiration, and I'm a good listener.
Well, thank you. We all need good listeners, and I'm also a good listener, you guys. You guys can email me. My email is aspenwin@gmail.com, and then we'll take it one step further. We'll take it one step further. We'll put us together on the phone, and now you guys know my story, and now you guys know where I'm coming from, and we'll see, Renee and I, we'll see what we can do to help you out to make this world a better, peaceful place.
Amen. Thank you so much,
and
what a great interview. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
You just listened to Ask Gwen, the podcast. To become a guest on Ask Gwen, the podcast, visit our website at askgwen.weebly.com or call 816-591-3399 and look for Danielle. Ask Gwen, the podcast. Connect with Gwen on Twitter at Gwen Kelly Charles or like our Facebook page at Butterflies of Wisdom.